43. On the Absolution.
Oh, emergency brake. I knew red was your color, but not quite this much red.
Somehow, Cardinal is able to open his eyes, and he sees the strangest sight. A stormtrooper bending over him and speaking with the voice of Vi Marotti. How did she manage it? He doesn't want to know. He'd hate to think that the Absolution has strategic weaknesses that could be so easily infiltrated by a half-dead spy. But perhaps she's not as damaged as she led him to believe. And perhaps he doesn't care so much about the Absolution anymore.
Phasma's knife,
he says.
Poison!
Vi's helmet shakes.
I hate to say I told you so, but...
He gives a sad chuckle and feels hot blood spray his chin.
Told me so.
He wants to tell her to leave him alone so he can die in peace. His body, at least, has gone numb. There are worse places to die than his own training room, but he doesn't want the last thing he sees to be a resistance spy, especially not one gloating while wearing the armor he once wore himself.
Go away,
he murmurs, turning his head away.
We had a deal.
But instead of leaving, she puts his helmet back on him and rolls him over onto what he realizes is a hover gurney. They always keep a few in the training room in case emergency medical care is needed. Soon he's floating, in mind and body, as Vi pushes him somewhere.
What are you doing?
He asks.
Saving you,
she responds curtly.
Now tell me how to get to the hangar or shut up.
Even half dead, he knows his ship, and he's able to give her a few directions. The wounds don't hurt as much right now, but he can feel the fever heating up, hear his blood beating in his ears.
Waste of time,
he mutters.
Parnassus fever. Can't amputate my lungs.
No, but I can put you in a medically induced coma and get you to a state-of-the-art medbay.
He wants to laugh, but can barely breathe. It's like he's drowning in his own blood.
Why?
Is all he can manage. She nods tersely as they pass marching troopers, then leans close.
Because I am an infinitely hopeful creature, and I still think you can be flipped.
Tough chance.
It's one I'm willing to take. Thing is, I think you're actually a good man under all that vicious red armor.
He floats in and out of consciousness. The next time he looks up, they're in the main hangar bay. Then she's maneuvering him into a ship. Not hers, something else. Something slightly bigger, but still fast. Then they're in the air, and she's barking into her calm. And then, blessedly, he sees the dark calm of space. And he's dumbfounded to realize she might actually get away with it.
Where are we going?
He asks. Hyperspace swirls overhead, and he struggles to stay awake for her answer. Vi stands over him and removes her stormtrooper helmet, giving him that wry smile he now knows very well. There are dark circles under her eyes, and the torture chair left a scorch mark across her forehead. What a pair they are. Mortal enemies, each of them about half dead, stumbling into space. I made a promise, Vi reminds him. I told Siv I'd come back for her, and you know I keep my promises. Turns out she and Torby live in a station with an amazing medbay, so I don't think you'll mind. Now I'm going to put you out to slow down the infection, and you're going to do me a favor and go unconscious so you won't die. Before he can protest, he feels the needle stab into his shoulder, and his body relaxes. From here on out, everything is out of his hands. Maybe he'll live. Maybe he'll die. Maybe one day he can find a way to take down Phasma for good. But for now, all he can do is succumb to the anesthetic. The world starts to go dark. The last thing he hears is Vi sigh and mutter, "Wish I had some knitting."